I think it's very significant. Needless to say, there's a lot of momentum in the world today. Countries around the world are taking a look at initiatives that basically reinforce what a number of other countries have done in terms of crushing ivory. And each and every one is a step forward in terms of basically showing the world that ivory is not a commodity that they basically can speculate on in the future. So France's action yesterday is one that I think is very important and builds on the momentum that has taken place in the United States, in China, in Gabon, in the Philippines, many other countries throughout the world.
Now, of course, it is sending a message to the world, but is the message getting to the people who really need to hear it, considering this is a multi-billion dollar illegal trade?
I think it's beginning to. Needless to say, awareness is very, very important, and this is all a part of a demand reduction campaign. The African Wildlife Foundation is involved in a big campaign in China in conjunction with an organization called WildAid. That's a media campaign, but these ivory crushes and destruction of ivory stockpiles, I believe, is important on another level. Needless to say, China destroyed several tons of ivory about a month ago. Hong Kong has committed to destroying 33 tons of ivory over the course of the next year. The destruction of these stockpiles are taking place basically where there is huge demand for ivory. So I think awareness that is created, particularly in those parts of Asia, is very, very important.
The destruction of the ivory is good in terms of not being able to sell that, but how do you get ahead of it and stopping the slaughtering of elephants and even the destruction of animals?
Well, I do believe it's a multi-pronged approach. Destruction of ivory is very, very important, but as I said, you've got to take many, many different actions, and AWF and many other organizations are involved in terms of supporting boots on the ground. We're talking to countries throughout Africa in terms of increased and enhanced law enforcement, using sniffer dogs at airports to basically detect ivory and rhino that's being exported from the country. Policy dialogues between African countries and China and Vietnam are taking place. It's a holistic approach that I believe will ultimately impact on a positive future for elephants in the future. At the moment, it is a very despicable situation. There's no question that we've lost many, many elephants and rhinos over the course of the last number of years. Estimates indicate that we probably lost about 35,000 elephants in Africa last year. Africa lost 1,000 rhinos. In the context of existing populations, those aren't sustainable numbers. And so we really have to take this multi-pronged approach if, in fact, we're going to be successful.
The use of ivory, as we know, is nothing new. Asians have been using it for hundreds and hundreds of years. How has it grown to be such a large industry over the years?
Well, I think there are changes that have taken place throughout the world, in particular in Asia. Ivory has been a part of Asian culture for centuries, and there are some lovely pieces of art that have been created through the centuries. There are ivory craftspeople in China who do magnificent work in ivory. Unfortunately, that ivory is now being bought by very, very affluent folks who are much larger in number in Asia than was the case years ago. And I believe folks are using that affluence to basically steal the ivory market. And hopefully we're going to be able to create awareness amongst those populations that ultimately deter the purchase of ivory in the future.
That also really touches on my next question, and that was going to be the affordability of it. Because it's so expensive, the average person is not able to purchase it. So these are affluent people who are buying it and using it?
As far as ivory is concerned, undoubtedly, there's no question about it. We know that throughout Asia, the number of millionaires and billionaires has increased exponentially over the course of the last decade or two. And we believe that those are the people that are basically buying the ivory.
Also, you've done a lot of wildlife work over the years. You worked with the mountain gorillas in Rwanda. So from your perspective, what are you seeing is actually happening to elephants and rhinoceroses in Africa?
We believe that the continental herd population of elephants is no more than 500,000 at this particular point. If we're losing 35,000 elephants a year, those numbers aren't sustainable. The continental herd population of rhinos is basically 25,000, both species, black and white rhino. We lost 1,000 this year. And again, you put it in the context of 25,000 continental herd, 1,000 lost per year, those numbers are not sustainable. level. And so if we don't do something very, very quickly, if there's not a global action that takes place, we're ultimately going to end up with an African continent that doesn't have elephants and rhinos. And I believe that would be a terrible situation, one that nobody wants to look forward to.
Looking ahead at the upcoming summit next week, what are your expectations?
Well, I'm delighted that the summit is taking place. Needless to say, conservation leaders, world leaders, are basically gathering there to share ideas. I believe there are going to be some pretty large and exciting announcements that are made, not only in terms of ways that we're going to attack this on many, many fronts. I believe there are going to be some interesting collaborative events that take place that ultimately will impact on how we're going to save elephants and rhinos and many other wildlife species throughout the world.